And we've been going through on Wednesday evenings looking at partnership and the partnership in the local church. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And how many times in Scripture it talks about the unity or partnership that we ought to have in the local church. And so I'm so thankful for our church that we're unified in partnership. And just it's a constant battle. The adversary is constantly at work, as you know, trying to cause division, contention, doesn't he? And so tragic in so many churches. And it's a thing we must be careful and cautious and always look out for. And so John 17, you know, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer that he prays, and he's praying for us in a lot of ways. And we'll jump into some of this in a minute, but I want to bring out this third message here on the power of partnership, power of partnership. We can have that. We're looking for people to partner with in the local church. We're looking for somebody that we can partner with, and God will bring us those people, and we do our best, as Paul says later in the book of Ephesians, the unity that we ought to have. Now, Jesus speaks through, and he's speaking. Notice, if you will, verse number 2, he says, as thou hast given him power, over all flesh, that he should have, give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He goes on and speaks about the he's praying for them. Verse number 9, he prays for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And we'll look at some of these other verses here in just a minute. But as we start out, Jesus prays for us and for the unity that we ought to have with one another, right? The local church. We have to have it. We've got to. I've been a part of a church, and actually several churches before, where there's no unity. I mean, some of you have been. No partnership, no unity in the church. And boy, it's tragic. It's hard. And you think about that, we need to be greater, as we saw 2 weeks ago, that unity of two are better than one. And having that, the importance that Christ puts on the unity of the believers. What a statement. What a statement. Now, notice a couple things here, preliminary things about this portion of Scripture. First, Jesus considers us partners and prays for our well-being and joy. He prays for us. He's praying for us, especially in this chapter. He's saying, Lord, protect them, guide them, work through them. Jesus shows us to partner with others. It starts with a submissive heart, a selfless attitude, a sacrificial state of being. We're saying, I want to do not mine own will, but thine be done. You know, he prayed that to the Father. Lord, not my will, thine be done. That's easy to say, hard to do, isn't it? For me, I know it is. And you think about, he says, I desire that we would have the unity. Okay, I'll skip some of that preliminary things. Let me get into the heart of it here. Number one, I have here the power to fulfill obedience. Now, he speaks here and says, I desire that they would fulfill, verse number 6, they have kept my word. They have kept thy word, the power to fulfill obedience. You and I ought to fulfill obedience, right? Obviously, the word of God. But when we unify together, how much more we could fulfill. Now, together it's easier to obey the word and fulfill the word. Accountability, I have letter A. There's an accountability. We need accountability. I thought about this, and I like this statement, but I'm too easy on me, you know. I don't know about you. Too easy on me, and I need accountability. Too easy. Oh, that's okay. You didn't get to it today. That's fine. You'll get over it. No, we need accountability. That happens in the local church. And encouraging you, I hope, as Jesus Christ did. There's availability. You have an available help to you. We need emergency help. We need help constantly. It's found in the unity, in the partnership. I'm just kind of getting at what Jesus is saying here in John 17. Letter C, we have advantage in numbers, as we saw in Ecclesiastes, that what? Two are better than one. Advantage. I like this. I found this pretty interesting. The hyena. How many know what a hyena is? Kids, you know what that is? Okay, you've seen those. He's one of the weakest animals when he's all alone, isn't he? All alone. Weak. You ever seen him? I saw a documentary on him. And they're just weak. All alone, they're frail, they're weak, they whine, they complain, they can't do anything right. But in a pack, they're the most ferocious predators in nature. And they'll get in their pack and they'll take down and destroy. And almost, I saw one where they went up against a whole den of lions, a whole bunch of them. And boy, they went at it. You think about the advantage we have in numbers. I remember growing up and boy, when I had three or four guys with me, I was sure mouthing off, I was spouting. I didn't, you know, why? I'm a tough guy, you know. I got every, if something happened, I got some, at least I thought, they kind of tucked tail and ran, but when things happened, but, you know, you think when you're all alone, all of a sudden, I got real quiet, you know. Everything, you know, real quiet alone. You think about the advantage in the numbers. Now, I'm coming back to the power to fulfill obedience. Now, you're hurting, you're wounded, you need help. You can say, hey, brother, I need help. Hey, sister, can you help me? Number two, though, the power to face opposition. Now, let's notice verse 13 here as we rather hasten through this chapter. I apologize. Power to face opposition. 13, he says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Don't forget, you're not of this world. We're not of this world. Don't get too comfortable. I was thinking about that just yesterday. Why does God cause us to have issues and problems and often pain and other things? Why? He don't want us to get comfortable in this world. We got to say, man, I'm ready to get out of here. We have a couple problems at our house right now that we're dealing with. And there's issues here, and this is not working, and this ain't working. And I thought about it. I thought, man, why do we got all these issues with this house? And then I thought, we don't want to get too comfortable here. We're ready to get out of here as soon as possible. And when the time comes, Lord willing, we'll be like, we're ready to go. We're not going to hold on. Oh, I'm going to miss this house so much. No, we're not going to miss that dilapidated air conditioner and other things that are going on. God does the same thing, but we face opposition. We need a partnership. He says, the world has hated them as they've hated me. Now, we have power to face opposition. We have power to help and support, the support we need, the security we need, the safety we need. Our most vulnerable time is when we're facing opposition. Have you noticed that for you? I don't know, but for me, facing opposition. When opposition comes and discouragement comes and other things happen, what happens? Well, I get kind of, man, down in the dumps. Vulnerable, and Satan comes in and does it, and he says, oh, okay, yeah. Hey, you know what you should do, Tim? You should go back over there. You should go back and do that. You should go back and be involved in that. No. Why? I'm facing opposition. I need strengthening. I need somebody to be there with me and for me. Safety. We need others to have our back, if you will. We're hurting when we're discouraged. We're frustrated, right? When everyone's against me, just one person for me can make all the difference. You ever had somebody, just one person encourage you? Oh, it means the world, doesn't it? Just maybe a side comment or something of that nature. Hey, you can keep going. You can do it, Brother Tim. You can keep, man, that helps. There's support, there's security, there's safety. So there's power to fulfill obedience. There's power to face opposition. And by the way, opposition is coming. You do anything for God, you do anything, you step out one step of faith, you get opposition. Critics come out of the woodwork. And usually the biggest critics are fellow Christians. It's not the world, is it? Man, it's not people out, unsaved people. It's the fellow Christians. They're going to criticize you. They're going to say you're not a good Christian just because you don't dress the way they do, don't follow the way they do, don't preach the way they do, don't talk the way they do, on and on. Facing opposition. Let me say thirdly, though, here, the power to fight on, to fight on. Now, notice verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou send me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So he's saying, again, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil, right? We can't help being in the world. You know, the old analogy of a boat. Boat's got to be in the water to fulfill its purpose, but as soon as the water gets in the boat, right, you got problems. You're going down quick. The power to fight on. Old Paul said, I finished my course, right? I fought the fight. I can finish my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, when the going gets too tough, we can find help and power in unity. Truly, truly. First of all, by the promises of God. He says, keep them from evil. Keep them. recall Hebrews 13. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never let you go. The promises of God. Do you know the promises of God today? Do you know what they are? Do you understand them and keep them and know them? We know. Letter B, by the person of Christ. Even as I, verse 14, he says, even as I am. Even as I am not of this world. There's the example for us. Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? Mind be in you. And then he goes on and he lists a bunch of things and he makes one statement. He endured the cross. We got to do a lot of enduring, don't we, as Christians? Paul tells Timothy to endure, right? Afflictions, endure, go through. You have to face some of that, and it's challenging, it's hard, it's difficult, but you keep on going. We do it by the promise of God, the person of Christ, and thirdly, or letter C, by the purpose of Christ. Purpose. What's the purpose? Propagate the truth. Verse 18, as thou sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. To do what? One thing, propagate the truth. Right? I've given you. Go ye into all the world and preach. Go ye into all the world and teach. Go ye into all the world. Propagating the truth. He sent us. Now we can keep on going when we keep our purpose in view. Purpose. I said before, but in middle school and high school, I tried to, my attempts at track. I don't know, anyone do track in here? You guys did? Okay. I did. And I was terrible at it. But my coach kept saying, Tim, you're terrible. No, he said, you're not very good, but you focus in on the finish line, man, and you'll do fine. And I said, okay, great. You know what I did? I was running, and the first race we had, and I was running and running, and I wanted to, you know, puke my guts out. You know, you get halfway down, and I'm going, I can't do it. And he kept yelling at me, just focus on the finish line, you know. I wanted to kill that guy. But he helped me. And you focus, you know, you get focused on something. You keep, and it really does help. And you keep your focus on the purpose at hand. I don't know how that kind of tied in, didn't it? Okay. And you keep it going. You focus on. Too many Christians, well, we get our focus off, don't we? The view. Oh, I forget. What am I doing? Why go to church? I don't know. I'm sick of it. Why be faithful in your Bible reading? I don't know. Why? If you have your focus right, though, right? Focused on Christ. Lord, I want to stay focused on you. What's my focus? Well, I want to fulfill obedience. I want to be able to face the opposition. I want to be able to fight on, keep going. Number four, let me say, we have the power to free others. Free others. He says in verse 20, notice verse number 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. That's you. That's me, isn't it? That's us. He's praying for us. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, and they that they may be, notice, one even as we are one. There's a power to free others by way of, I'm saying, reaching others with the gospel. You know, we've been commissioned to free others of the bondage of sin. Not by what we do, but by obviously sharing the gospel, frees these people. Christ's will and his will and desires for those disciples and for us to propagate the truth. We do that through the word of truth. The word of truth. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You and I say this often. We have all that we need right here to fulfill and to know the will of God and God himself through the word of truth, through the work of God. We've been commissioned to work. We're created as human beings to work, aren't we? And that's not a bad word either, you know, a dirty word. Work. We're created to work. We're created to fulfill that. We're created, I think about our society today, so many people don't have to work. They're on some kind of subsidies or help and other things. And there's something empty inside, isn't there? They can't work. They don't work. And they don't know what to do with their lives, do with their with themselves and their families. We're created for that. God said, I want to use you to propagate the truth, to work through that, to free others. Let me say, letter C, through the walk of believers, the testimony of faith, having the right testimony for others. So again, the unity, the power of that we have within us and God has given to us. And don't forget that God has commissioned each one of us, if you're a child of God tonight, to go forward, not just pass out a gospel tract, but to have a testimony. Do what you do. Exercise your talents for him. Fulfill those things, you know. Shoot, just be faithful to church. Be faithful, as you often are, and you are. I just pray that we could reach these others and looking through that and understanding the power of that unity and what God has given to us. I got a few things. Let me skip ahead here. By way of conclusion, I found this fascinating story. The great redwood trees of California. I don't know. Has anyone ever seen those before? Some of you have. Boy, I've never seen those in person. But it says that the giant redwood trees, they tower, some of them, well over 300 feet tall. With that great height, one would think that they must have very strong and deep root systems going deep into the earth, but not so. In fact, these redwood trees have very shallow root systems that capture all the surface moisture as possible. Because these roots spread out in all directions, the roots of all the trees are intertwined with each other in the forest. As a result, they inevitably end up supporting one another and helping each other stand, even in the high winds. This is why you rarely, if ever, see a giant redwood standing alone. They need one another to survive. If one tree has access to water, it will share it with those around it. If one has access to nutrients or sunlight, it also will share with the other trees. Isn't that fascinating? Giant trees. And yet they cannot survive without each other. The picture of the local church. We need each other, don't we? We need unity. And we need that intertwining, if you will. What a wonderful example for us. Now, although we may look and seem strong, steady on our own, we need the unity and partnership of others in our lives. Now, we see here. Hopefully, we'll cover a little more next week as we look at and continue through the scriptures about what this entails and bringing it home, kind of. But as you folks know that, we ought to have the power. We know the apostles went on. They didn't do very good in this, did they? They often would argue and fight, and it's a funny example for us as a local church. But there were some that went away, some that disbelieved, all those things. Christ said, I've seen all that. And he still commissioned us as a local church. Paul would later go and start many, many churches. And he would preach and teach the same exact thing, didn't he? The unity. I pray, he says in Philippians 1, that you strive together with one spirit, one mind, in the unity. Okay, I'll stop there for tonight. Just hope that was a little encouragement to you, a blessing as we've been looking at and studying this here this evening. All right?